Okay, well, I was praying and thinking about what I should share with you today, and I believe the word that God has placed upon my heart for you is peace for troubled lives. Peace for troubled lives. And if you have a Bible, you may want to follow along with us. If not, I'll be reading from the Word of God. And
by the way, there's a whole box of Bibles.
Okay. You know, friends, this world is full of trouble and turmoil. Would you agree?
Uh-huh.
You've got nation fighting nation. And within nations themselves, you've got civil wars, right? Uh-huh. One group of people fighting another group of people. Even in America today, people are fretting. People are anxious. People are worried. Why? Because this economy is unstable. People are wondering, am I going to lose my retirement savings? Am I going to lose the value in my house? Will I end up losing my job? People are fretful. They're anxious. Another thing that is making people nervous in America today is what? It's the presidential race. Everybody's thinking, who's the next man to lead this nation? Is it this individual or this individual? Who is going to be the president of America? And you know what, friends? In your own personal life, you may be afraid, worried, anxious about a loss, maybe about an unexpected negative report, or maybe about what the future holds for you. God's word of encouragement to you today is this: don't be afraid or worried. God wants to replace your anxieties with His peace. Let me say that again. God wants to replace your anxieties with His peace. The first thing I want to talk about today is this: peace with God. Peace with God. Peace and the loss of peace began back in the Garden of Eden, right? Garden of Eden. Think about it. Adam and Eve were at peace, at harmony with God in the garden. It says in Genesis 3:8 that God walked around in the garden in the cool of the day. This gives us the impression that God was fellowshipping with Adam and Eve. He was at harmony with them. He talked with them. They talked with Him. And God said to them in Genesis 2, verse 16, He said, you know, Adam, I'm placing you in this garden with many trees. You can eat of the fruit of any tree in this garden, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. You will surely die. So along comes the serpent, right, in Genesis 3, the devil. And he says to the woman, you're not really going to die. God knows that when you eat of that fruit, you'll be like God, discerning both good and evil. So the woman looked at the fruit. She saw that it was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom, and she ate of the forbidden fruit. She ate of that fruit. And it says in Genesis 3:23 that harmony was lost. Basically, they were banished. Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden. What did this signify? This signified a loss of peace with God. They were separated now from God. They were out of harmony with God. But God never gives up on us, friends. He's the God of a second chance. He's the God of a third chance. He didn't give up on Adam and Eve. He doesn't give up on humanity. He's not giving up on you. And God wanted to be back in harmony with the humanity He created. He wanted to be at peace with the people that He formed and made. So what did He do 2,000 years ago? He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to die upon a cross and shed His blood on Calvary so that you and I could be reconciled back to Him, right? So that we could come back into relationship with Him. Let me read it to you from Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God wants you to talk with Him just as you talk to your best friend. He wants peace with you. And the way to receive peace with God, the way to be reconciled back to God, the way to be back in harmony with God is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Lord means ruler. Jesus Christ wants to be the ruler of every single part of your life. So how do we receive peace with God? Harmony with God that Adam and Eve lost? How is it received? By faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about inner peace. It's only found in Jesus Christ. The same Jesus who brings us back into peace and reconciliation with God is the Jesus who brings inner peace in place of unrest and turmoil. Jesus is the only one that can bring peace to your troubled emotions. Now, how many have heard it said that everybody is born with a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill? Everybody is born with an emptiness on the inside in their spirit that only God, God the Son, can fill. Now, how do non-believers, people in the world, people who are not following God, trying to receive peace, how are they trying to fill the emptiness on the inside? Go ahead. Okay. That's good. All right. Some people try to fill the void on the inside with materialism. You see it a lot here in South Tulsa. I see it all the time. You know, they want nothing to do with God, but, you know, they're concerned about their house and their car and their boats and their nice careers, and they're trying to fill that emptiness on the inside with material things and money. Some try to fill the emptiness inside with religion. Other religions. Buddhism, Hinduism, New Age. Some try to fill it with yoga. I was driving down Tulsa some time back, and I saw a sign that was advertising classes for inner peace yoga. The entire world, everybody in this world, friend, is looking for what? For peace. Other people try to find peace in spiritual leaders of other religions. I was in India, back in North India, probably about, I'd say about 6 years ago. 5 or 6 years ago. And when I go to North India, to New Delhi, to minister the Word of God, I normally stay at the YWCA. They've got some really nice rooms there. And outside the YWCA, they have a patio area where people can have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So I was there one day with my Indian host friend, and this lady from another nation, a Caucasian woman, was there in the patio area. And she began talking to us. She said, at that time, that she started coming to India six years previous to the encounter that we had with her. And she said, I came to India, she said, and I met this spiritual Hindu leader here in India. She said, and he's kind of short, he's got an afro, he's funny looking, she said. She looked at him, she was like, man, this guy is funny looking. She said, but when he spoke, she said, I fell in love with him. And she said, every year I come to India for 6 months every year just because I fell in love with this Hindu spiritual leader. So she's arguing back and forth with my Indian host friend. He gives words of advice. He shows up to me at night. He does this, he does the other thing, and they're arguing back and forth and back and forth. So my friend asks her, he says, ma'am, let me ask you this. She said, what? He says, has this Hindu spiritual leader been able to give you inner peace? I was right there witnessing this. And at that point, the conversation became quiet. The understood answer was no. The understood answer was no. There's no spiritual leader, no yoga, no New Age, no Buddhism, nothing that can give you true inner peace. And perhaps today you're worried and anxious about your next meal, how you'll get the next set of clothes, where you will live next. Will I have enough money at the end of the month, or will I have more month at the end of my money? Will I ever get a better job? Will this abusive relationship ever end? You may be racked with worry and fear to the point where you can't even sleep at night. And a couple of months ago, I was ministering here at the Day Center, and I met a gentleman one Friday evening, and I was just ministering to him, and he said, "Jonathan, just pray for me. I'm in such and such a business. I do such and such a type of work." He said, "But I just can't sleep at night. I just can't turn my mind off. I'm full of anxiety and nervousness and worry and fear." So I prayed for him. And friend, that might be you today. Maybe you can't turn your mind off, especially at night. Your mind is going and going and going and going. You've got no peace on the inside. All you've got is turmoil, worry. They're all cousins. Fearfulness, worry, anxiety, nervousness, they're all related. They're cousins. And you may be struggling with that, friends. Your mind is constantly thinking, and you can't sleep at night. And perhaps you've turned to drugs or alcohol or an immoral relationship looking for peace. But you know what? Drugs, alcohol, a wrong relationship will not give you inner peace. Guess what it gives you? It only gives you temporary relief. Once the drugs wear out, once the alcohol wears out, once that relationship runs dry, that turmoil comes back. Those things, friend, cannot give you peace. Only Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, can replace your inner turmoil with inner peace. Do you agree with that? Amen. Let's turn to John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Let's see what Jesus says. How many struggle with anxiety and nervousness sometimes, and fear and worry? I think we all do at times, right? Look at what Jesus says. John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you a gift to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." He says, I don't give you the type of peace the world gives you. The world's understanding of peace is what? It's happiness based on happenings. If the happenings are good, they have happiness, and thus they think they have peace. But Jesus says, the peace I give you, you can have in the midst of the storms you're going through in your life. Though you may be going through a hard time in your life, you can sleep with God's peace at night like a baby. Sleep like a baby. You know, I saw something written just recently, and I thought it was kind of funny, so I'll share it with you. And it's concerning the market and the economy, and it says, just came to my mind now, but I think I'll share it. It says, every time I think about the stocks, concerning the stock market, I sleep like a baby. I wake up every 2 hours crying. Friends, that doesn't have to be you. Concerning the situation in your life, you can truly sleep like a baby. You can sleep like a log. You can sleep with God's peace. He wants to give it to you. You know, when worry and fear try to attack your mind, just rest in faith and trust that God has got your back. He will provide for your every need. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 6. What did he say? Let's turn there to Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. He's talking against worry here. Matthew 6, 28. "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will not he much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Verse 33 is the key verse. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know what, friends? When you're relying in yourself, and you're trying to figure out everything with your own mind, you won't have peace on the inside. What's the surefire way to have peace? It's to know that God has got your back. That if you're worrying about what you're going to eat or what you're going to clothe yourself with or where you'll live next or what the next job opportunity is or the more money that you need, you worry about these things. But you know what? Cast all your cares upon God because He cares for you. Just know that God has got your back. I'm not going to worry about it because God has got my back. I'm resting in faith. I'm resting in trust in God. God is going to take care of it for me, but my God will supply all of my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Friend, if that is your mindset of faith and trust in God, when you get a negative report, when something is going wrong with your life, guess what? You'll have inner peace because what? You know that God has got you. He's there for you. He will provide for you. Think about the little girl who loves her daddy. And knows her daddy loves her. He works a long day, three-year-old girl, and that might have been you one day. Dad comes home, knocks on the door. She runs to that door, into her daddy's arms. Daddy kisses her, hugs her. She's got no fear. She's got no worries. She doesn't think about where she's going to sleep that night. She doesn't think about the meal she's going to eat that night. She doesn't think about where she's going to school, right? She doesn't have to think about, you know, if she'll have enough money or not. Why? Because she knows her daddy loves her. She knows that her daddy has got her back. She trusts him. She relies upon him. She depends upon him fully. She's got no fears and no worries. Guess what? We have got a great heavenly daddy who cares for us. Let's jump into his arms. Let him, you know, just hug us. And talk to us and fellowship with us, knowing that He will provide for our every need. And you know what? I just want to kind of give you a story here. Back in July of this year, I was at a water park here in Tulsa with a friend, Brandy. And kind of a strange incident occurred. I didn't want to pay the money for a locker. I wanted to save $4 or $5. So we went ahead and took our bag and some of our belongings and placed it under this lounge chair. Everybody was doing it, covered it up. I had a few dollars in there, had a watch and some keys, and she had some personal belongings. And we had a great day that day. Right, Brandy? It was fun. So around 7 o'clock at night, we returned to that lounge chair, you know, just believing that our bag was there. We get to the lounge chair, and guess what? The bag was gone. And I was thinking to myself, why just our bag? So many people were doing this, putting their bags under their chairs. Everybody else's bag is there. Why is ours gone? You know? So I got nervous. And we went to the management office. And we talked to a couple of the managers. And I said, sir, I'm sorry. We had some personal belongings in a bag. And the bag is gone. What do we do? And he said, well, let me get your name and your phone number and your address. And if it pops up, we'll let you know. He said, but you might want to check the restrooms. But you know, in the midst of it all, deep down on the inside, though we had personal belongings in there, my keys were in there, so we were stuck. I couldn't get into my vehicle. In the midst of it all, I just knew deep down on the inside that God would help us find it. I knew that God had our back. I don't know if I shared that with Brandy, but I knew it. So anyway, we walk out of the management office, and there's a ladies' restroom down to the right of us. So I walk out, I look to my right, and I see a bag on the ground in front of the ladies' restroom. I'm like, Brandy, that looks like our bag. She's like, it is. I'm like, yes. And guess what, friends? Not a thing was missing except a shirt of Brandy's. That was it. They left the money there. They left the keys there. They left the watch there. They left everything in it. Wow. Except the shirt. I was like, yes, God, I knew you had our back. You know, I started getting anxious at first, nervous. But I knew God had us. And friends, if you start getting anxious and nervous and worried, know that God has got your bag. He knows where it is. He will help you find it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, right? Inner peace by faith in Jesus Christ. The same Jesus who brings us back into harmony with God is the same Jesus who brings us what? Inner peace. Why? He's the Prince of Peace. And He lives on the inside of us. And for the next few minutes, to close it off, I want to talk about peace with others. People who are anxious and fearful and worried on the inside bring strife into other relationships. Why? because the focus is on self. However, people full of Christ's inner peace bring peace and harmony into relationship with others. So if you're full of the peace of Christ on the inside, that peace that you're full of should overflow into your relationship with others, right? If you've got Christ's peace on the inside, it should overflow out of you in interacting with other people on a daily basis. What is one of the main causes of strife and lack of peace? James writes about it. James 4, 1 through 2. Want me to read it? All right, here. James 4, 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something and don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask of God. Selfishness, focus on self, is one of the main causes of strife. How does Paul the Apostle encourage us concerning peace with other people? One final verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. What is Paul telling us? He's telling us, let the peace of Christ be the umpire of our life. Let the peace of Christ in our hearts make the one, be the one who makes the calls. So when you're interacting with somebody and self pops its ugly head, ask yourself this question. WWCD. WWCD. What would Christ do? What would Christ do? If Christ came into contact with somebody and there was an opportunity for strife to arise, think WWCD. This is what Christ would do. He would set aside anxiety and self because he trusts God. His dependence is upon God, and he knows God will make the situation right. And because he trusts God and he's not focused on himself, there's harmony in that relationship. Does that make sense? Matthew 17, one example here. Matthew 17. Just a couple of more minutes. Matthew 17. Verse 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings on the earth, of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said. "But so that we may not," here's the clincher, here's the key, "but so that we may not offend them," let me add, "so that we may maintain harmony, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them from my tax and yours." Jesus could have said, "You know what, we don't owe them a thing. We ain't giving them a thing," right? But what did Jesus do? To maintain the harmony? He set aside self, right? He set aside his opinion, or what he thought was right, and anything he thinks is right. Everything he thinks is right. He set aside self, and he said, "You know what? So that we don't offend them, so that we keep the harmony, Peter, go out, fish, catch that fish, open its mouth, and in the mouth will be the money to pay the tax collectors." Anytime there's an opportunity to get into a quarrel with somebody, into a fight, ask yourself, what would Christ do? You know, if pride tries to pop its head and you see your viewpoints as the only way, are you going to proclaim your viewpoint to everybody and everything? Or will you ask yourself, WWCD, what would Christ do. Look at Proverbs 13:10. I'm sorry, I said there was one more scripture, but there was two more. Proverbs 13:10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. You've got a viewpoint, and you're talking to somebody, and they've got a viewpoint. Ask yourself, you know what? I'm getting pretty passionate about my viewpoint. I don't want any strife to arise. So WWCD, what would Christ do? What would Christ do? He would put aside the mentality that says, it's either my way or the highway, right? I had a high school principal. High school principal who got all the students together one day. He was talking to us at the beginning of the year. His name was Sam. And he just proclaimed to the students, he said, guys, it's either my way or the highway. How many know that that type of mentality will get you into strife with other people? It will. So what would Christ do? He would put aside that mentality, that it's either my way or the highway. Knowing that his trust is in God, knowing that God will make it right, that God will allow eventually the other person to see the truth, and thus maintain harmony. This maintains peace. By just putting aside your viewpoint and thinking, what would Jesus do in this situation? Jesus said it in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons, the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the sons of God. So friends, peace with God comes how? Harmony with God comes by faith in Christ.